It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State lawmakers in more than a dozen states have introduced 29 bills that aim to restrict colleges' efforts at improving diversity, equity, and inclusion. That is the latest from the Chronicle of Higher Education's DEI legislation tracker. Call in with questions and reactions to anti-DEI bills, what it means for Wisconsin, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Adrienne Liu is a senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education, where she focuses on underrepresented students. Adrienne, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Morning, Kate. How are you?
I'm doing well. So you are part of this team at the Chronicle tracking this legislation around the country that is looking to curtail DEI programs. Why did the Chronicle start this project and dig into this?
Yeah, so we've seen higher education come under criticism by political conservatives around the country for several years now. And back in January, the Goldwater and Manhattan Institutes released model state legislation that would address four specific areas of diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts at public colleges and universities. So we were curious to see how many of these efforts would actually end up in bills in state houses. And to see how many actually end up in law. So we decided to track them, you know, across the country.
And so you mentioned the Manhattan Institute, the Goldwater Institute. These are think tanks. They've created this model legislation. What are these proposals like? What are they trying to get state legislatures to do to rein in DEI?
Yeah, so the Manhattan Goldwater Institute say what they're trying to do is to quote unquote dismantle the DEI bureaucracy, and those are that's their terms for it. But they're looking at four specific strategies that colleges have used to try to improve diversity, equity, and inclusion. So the first is just having DEI offices or staff or programming. So the legislation would seek to ban, you know, having offices or staff to improve these goals. Another is to ban mandatory diversity training. Another aspect would prohibit the use of diversity statements in either hiring or admissions at colleges. And finally, the last piece would ban the use of identity characteristics such as race or sex in either admissions or hiring or promotions.
On the other side of this, what have colleges and universities been doing in recent years to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Yeah, so for many years now, colleges have been trying to work to improve diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that has, you know, only ramped up since the murder of George Floyd in 2020. So what that means is that they've done things like hired administrators and staff dedicated to these goals. They've adopted strategic plans, and they've included DEI efforts in their mission statements. So more specifically, and DEI efforts can include a really broad range of efforts by colleges, but they can include things like culturally relevant programs or centers. It can mean using data to try to analyze challenges to retention and completion for underrepresented minority students. It can include something like professional development for faculty to help them understand the experiences of diverse students.
Mm. I'm going to reintroduce you, Adrienne Liu here, senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education, as we talk about DEI programs and model legislation coming from two think tanks. The Chronicle following this legislation around the country. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Adrienne, you know, you did bring up these diversity statements, and it wasn't until I read your pieces did I really start to understand what are diversity statements. And I was wondering if you could kind of explain these and why they've become so contentious.
Yeah, so diversity statements are when colleges ask applicants who are, you know, seeking to join faculty or staff to explain how they have contributed to these types of goals toward diversity and equity and inclusion. And they've become pretty controversial because some critics say that they, you know, cross the line from, you know, helping to ensure that all students feel welcome on campus, for example, to enforcing a single ideology, and that they, you know, the critics argue that diversity statements can be a way of ensuring that only certain political views are welcome on campus.
So, you know, they are, the question would be, is are they a true gauge to measure or predict a job candidate's true commitment to DEI work? And with the dismantling of these statements, that may go away. We might not know.
Yeah, that's right. And the critics of the critics would argue that by restricting applicants from talking about their experiences, for example, helping diverse students, or restricting colleges from asking about that, that is another form of restricting free speech. So you have sort of the same argument on both sides of the issue.
Have states become more likely to glom on to this model legislation that's being drafted here? And, you know, as we all have on our minds, what about Wisconsin?
Yes, so far we've seen 17 states introduce bills touching on these four aspects of diversity, equity, and inclusion. We've not seen any in Wisconsin yet, but we're certainly watching to see if that happens.
Let's take a call now. Jack joining us from Madison. Jack, hi, go ahead.
Good morning. So I guess given the bit of the conversation I've heard so far, you know, I've been hearing a lot about initiatives to, you know, bring students of more diverse backgrounds to colleges and universities, and I commend all that. But then looking at, like, the crackdowns that I guess Republican politicians seem to be engaging in or looking towards in various states, I'm curious as to how much of this is just them playing politics and kind of, if you will, saber rattling with, you know, this notion of diversity, equity, inclusion, and, like, you know, kind of ranting about students, you know, from more marginalized backgrounds being able to go to school. And they're just doing this, you know, like, to play politics and kind of push their, I guess, perverse agenda, but then getting around that, how can we actually create a more welcoming environment for students of, you know, more diverse backgrounds to, you know, go to school and have a good education or be accepted to college?
Jack, thank you. And I want to toss this over to Adrienne. Go ahead.
I'm trying to remember if there was a question.
Well,
in there.
And wondering whether this legislation that is popping up around the country, is this just an example of saber rattling, as Jack said, or can it really go somewhere? And then the second part piece of that is, how do you do DEI work right? Or is there a right way? How can you make campuses more inclusive in the environment that America is in right now?
So for the first piece, I would say that yes, even though at this point none of these bills have been signed into law, we've already seen a real impact in some states. Missouri, the University of Missouri system, for example, went ahead and decided to stop the use of diversity statements, even though that, you know, as I said, the bill hasn't been signed into law. And we've seen that in a couple of other states, Iowa and Texas. We've seen some, you know, some actions even ahead of bills being signed into law.
Can the universities that you have seen efforts, you know, to do DEI and to hire DEI officers, how have efforts by universities to improve equity and diversity, have they had any effect?
Yeah, that's a really important question and a really complex question. It's really hard to talk about DEI efforts as a whole because they encompass so many different things. And so you really have to break down into different pieces. And, you know, the evidence is probably pretty mixed. I would say that based on the continuing achievement gaps that we see between white students and underrepresented students, and as well as, you know, problems that colleges have had recruiting and retaining diverse faculty, that there's still a lot of work to do.
Chronicle of Higher Education journalist Adrienne Liu with us, part of a project tracking where college diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts are under attack by state legislatures, model legislation. Call in with your questions about the scope of these bills, your experiences with DEI in the college setting. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss diversity, equity, and inclusion in higher ed and legislation afoot in some states to stifle DEI initiatives. The Chronicle of Higher Education tracking bills that seek to dismantle the way colleges recruit and retain students of color. Join in with your questions and comments about the future of DEI. 800-642-1234. Adrienne Liu is here, senior reporter at The Chronicle, and stays with us. Let's go to Pete in Eau Claire. Pete, hi.
Hello. One basic human need is a feeling or a need to belong, to a group or whatever. I'm just curious, how does promoting diversity create unity?
How does promoting diversity create a sense of unity? Adrienne, have you pursued that question in your reporting?
I think a lot of diversity, equity, and inclusion offices would have as one of their goals to help all students feel a sense of belonging on campus. And I do want to note that DEI offices are not aimed solely at students, underrepresented students, meaning minority students. It can also mean making college more accessible and welcoming to, for example, students with disabilities or first generation students, or LGBTQ plus students. So it's not just students by race that DEI offices are trying to help.
You mentioned University of Missouri recently doing away with its statements committing to diversity in favor of more generic values, a more generic value statement. Why did the university take this step?
So the University of Missouri system said that they officially were not using diversity statements, but that they found some inconsistencies, and so they just wanted to make sure that that it was clear across the system that diversity statements should not be used.
Do you think it was in response to legislation there?
It certainly came after legislation was introduced. So
are there states that are taking the crackdown on DEI initiatives even further? What are you seeing in Florida, for instance?
Yeah, so there have been a couple of states that have introduced bills that are really even go beyond the model legislation. In Florida, for example, House Bill 99 would shift more power to over faculty hiring and tenure over to trustees. It would also ban majors and minors in critical race theory, gender studies, and intersectionality, which, you know, goes beyond what was seen in the model legislation. And Ohio also has a bill that's pretty broad ranging, Senate Bill 83. The bill is 39 pages long. And in addition to banning many different kinds of diversity initiatives, it would require annual faculty performance reviews, require colleges to post their course syllabi online, would require students to pass an American history or American government class to graduate, and it could bar Chinese students from enrolling.
You mentioned 39 pages long, all relating to, what colleges are doing. I'm wondering, does this relate to both public and private? What is the distinctions there?
Yeah, Ohio's bill in particular would subject some private colleges that receive state funds to some of these provisions, most of the bills we're seeing across the country would apply just to public colleges and universities. But there are a few states, including Ohio's, that would apply to any institution receiving any state funding, which includes some private colleges.
Adrienne Liu with a senior reporter at the Chronicle of Higher Education as we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and legislation in some states. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Julie is here from Madison. Julie, hi.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm wondering, I'm supportive of diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. However, the curriculum in general continues, and I am white, continues to be very vanilla and European American. I'm wondering if the reporter could comment on, what seems to be left out, and that this seems to be a restriction of freedom of speech to not allow diversity to be discussed. And I guess I'm hoping maybe it's a second topic more quickly that the curriculum would be more inclusive of all history that has been very much left out and made vanilla or white.
Julie, thank you. And Adrienne, what do these bills mean in regards to curriculum?
So most of the bills really don't say anything about curriculum. The bills that I just mentioned in Florida and Ohio are sort of exceptions, and they do talk a little bit more about what colleges can and can't teach. But the majority of the bills that we've seen really don't get into the curriculum aspect.
I wonder what impact could the pending Supreme Court cases regarding race conscious admissions at Harvard and at UNC, what impact could that have on the state legislation you're seeing around the country?
Yeah, certainly the Supreme Court is expected to rule very soon on race conscious admissions. And that would, that would mean that, this piece in the model legislation dealing with identity characteristics would not be necessary, because it would be sort of talking about that already in admissions. I guess if you're talking about hiring and recruiting faculty, that piece could still be relevant. But you're right. If the Supreme Court rules regarding race conscious admissions, that would probably mean that piece of the legislation would not have any particular impact on student admissions.
Looking in the months to come, perhaps years to come, if these measures do become law, have you thought about how do you see them affecting the educational experience in these states?
Yeah, that's a good question. One indication, there was a survey released last week by a higher education consulting group, the Art and Science Group, and they surveyed high school students, and they found that 1 in 4 students had ruled out colleges due to the politics or policies in those particular states. Hmm. So that says to me that these are issues that high school students really care about, and that they could have a potential impact on who attends college in any particular state.
Are there any states that are attempting to do the reverse, to expand diversity and inclusion efforts?
Yeah, we have seen bills going in the other direction in a couple of states. In New Jersey, for example, there's a bill that would require public colleges to develop faculty and student diversity plans with specific goals for increasing recruitment and retention of diverse faculty and staff. So that's just one example that we've seen.
Adrienne, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Adrienne Liu is a senior reporter at the Chronicle of Higher Education, focused on underrepresented students. We have a link to the Chronicle's DEI legislation tracker. It's at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.